cliffcentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. We're live. It's Monday. We're coming to you from Leanne Moll's house and from Sia Sangweni's house and from my house this morning. Isn't that exciting? Can you tell?
Our house.
In the middle of the street. Our house. Yeah, that's right. So you're in our house today, so behave yourself, please. Nothing worse than having a bad house guest, you know what I mean? Someone who poos in every single lavatory, and someone who leaves a mess everywhere.
Ew.
It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. So how was the weekend?
The weekend went by pretty quickly, didn't you think?
Yeah, it was much too fast, but I loved the rain. Oh my God, it rained so hard on Saturday night. And the river came down in flood, which I always think is amusing. But it was just so nice to see everything kind of, you know, because we haven't had a proper rain yet this year. And it was just in time for the end of October, beginning of November. Plus it was Halloween over the weekend, so there were lots of people dressing up. I saw all the pictures on Facebook and Instagram and everywhere else of people dressing up for Halloween. Some people go to some incredible trouble, huh?
It's cute to see if people made the effort. But it's also if you're into it, really.
No, I think people do, by and large. I mean, you know, you can't, if you're gonna do Halloween, you either have to go big or go home. And I didn't go to a Halloween party, so even though I had plans to. You know, I had those people here for a nappy party, which is a braai, and it went on into the afternoon, and then it started raining. I just decided there's no point in like chasing everybody out so that I can go to a Halloween party. And I didn't really have an outfit organized, and I didn't really think about it, but there were a few options on the table. Either way, I was very pleased that I didn't, because it's work, you know? Huge amount of work.
It's all just distractions, really. And, you know, until you die.
I knew it.
It really is.
Just distractions.
You've got to fill your days with something.
Until you're dead.
Leanne, did you have a bad weekend? Do we need to talk about this?
No, I had a good weekend. I feel fresh-minded. You know, I've been on antibiotics for a while for this tooth thing. Yeah. Unfortunately, I forgot to take probiotics with the antibiotics. So my bowels are paying the price. I haven't had any alcohol for days and days.
Oh my God!
So I'm feeling quite clear-headed, and yeah, I think things like Halloween, Christmas, and dressing up and braais, they're all good distractions.
Okay,
keep us busy.
Yeah, as long as you're not miserable. I mean, we don't want you to be depressed first thing on a Monday.
No, I'm feeling very happy, positive and realistic.
Leanne and I had the funniest conversation for about a minute and a half before we started the show this morning. We were just testing the lines. Did you hear it?
No, I didn't.
We were comparing which antihistamines we like. like an old couple. Because I've heard old people, when they are in a marriage where, you know, the love is gone, and they're really just there because there's no one else for them, and they need, you know, they're all their shit's wrapped up in contracts together. And then they talk about, what kind of antihistamine do you prefer, dear? And she goes, well, I like these ones. These are AP loratadine. And then she said, which ones do you use?
I use Rupinase, which sounds like something you'd spike someone's drink with.
Rupinase.
In order to rapinase. But you know what? Old people also love the pharmacy.
Oh, they love it.
When I went last week, I was desperate, so I went before it opened, and I was one of those people sitting in the car waiting.
Yeah.
And there was an old man who was waiting at the closed door, at the security door, with his walking stick.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's also more than love. It's a necessity at that stage, you know. You want those aches and pains and bumps to go away ASAP.
Yeah, he was top of the pops, though. I was the one who was going, and he was having a huge conversation and talking to the pharmacist about which creams were for his wife and which creams were for him, which creams had been working best where. He was top of the pops.
Great. In
very good cheer.
Good.
Love to have a conversation about medication.
Yeah. They do love that. I mean, really, old people, you could keep them busy for 3 hours or more. I mean, if we had to launch a show here, you know, when we used to do, like, we had 12 hours a day of fresh original shows. And one of the
more
ones
than 40 shows.
Yeah, you know, one of the ones that we did it once or twice, but it was so difficult to organize because old people are so complicated. But I wanted to put these three old yenters in the studio together and just let them talk, you know, like the kind of gossip that they would usually partake in the real world. And give them some tea and let them sit there and just gossip about things.
Have you heard about Hazel? She's got terrible diarrhea. I thought that if she just went to the chemist and used this that I've got here, this is the right kind of cream to use.
Mm. You know, you would have left them alone and they would have been tremendously entertaining. The problem was that getting them there was near impossible because old people, that most of them don't drive, and if they do drive, they never want to travel far, and giving them directions is so difficult. So if they don't live right next door to the studio, it's not going to happen. And then they're very crotchety. They're grumpy, and they find it very difficult to just do basic things. Like, can you be there at 9? No, well, I've got a doctor's appointment at 9:30. Oh.
And don't change their schedules.
No,
that's a no.
So it's just, it fell apart, but I would still love to do it. And I guarantee you, if you put those old people in the studio, within minutes, they would be onto the medication and, you know, their health problems and
definitely
all that kind of stuff would start spilling out of them. They just can't get enough.
They also like talking about their families and other people's grandchildren and how badly those grandchildren are doing compared to their own. I go to the Johannesburg Country Club quite often with a friend. She's a member. And we sit in the lounge and our entertainment is listening to these ladies talk to each other about their families.
Because they talk loud as well.
Oh, yeah. They don't give a shit. They're over-caring about anything.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And we just sit there quietly giggling.
I sometimes listen to my parents talking to each other. And, you know, they've been together, 45 years or something now. And
wow.
Yeah. But there are moments where you can actually tell that they really do love each other. But there are also moments where you could tell they hate each other. You can hear.
How?
Well, I mean, like sometimes while my dad is talking, my mother will go. She'll just like roll her eyes. Or he'll say, that's really nice. Do you want to criticize me some more? You know, and they'll start. Oh, no. It gets so. Whew.
My dad just shuts up and puts his head down, hangs his head in shame and just keeps dead quiet.
Yeah.
Takes the instructions.
Yeah.
But I happened upon my parents yesterday. I popped in to say hi. And the two of them were sitting at the dining room table after lunch. And they had loads and loads of these beautiful table books open on gardens and gardens in Provence and all sorts of things. And they were planning their annual vegetable planting and which nurseries they were going to go to. And they were so excited and happy about it. And I just observed them for 45 minutes sitting there.
Like chimps, like chimpanzees in a cage. You were watching them and just seeing what they're up to. Yeah.
And they were just and excited and happy. It was nice to see.
That's nice. That's very nice. I like that.
Yeah. So,
well,
I hope one day I have these good conversations with myself.
I hope so. You know that you probably won't be alone. You'll probably find some sad old man and the two of you will shack up. You know, because then after that you've got death to look forward to, as you put it this morning.
Oh, no. Mm. Does he have to be sad? Come on, can't we wish Leon well?
Maybe he could be fantastic.
Not too positive, though.
No.
You know, not unrealistic.
What
not like the man
positive
in the pharmacy.
All right.
No, not like nothing's going to ever happen to us. Someone realistic would be nice.
Okay. Here are some comments and questions for this morning. First of all, Lubabalo says, was on Twitter yesterday. Why does Pierre de Fosse, why is he obsessed with you, Gareth? And what's the BCCSA fine all about? Can you explain? Mm. Pierre de Fosse, isn't he that lawyer? He's that constitutional lawyer. I think.
I just know him as a very loud person on Twitter as well.
Yes. I'm not on Twitter very much, Lubabalo, so I don't know. Pierre de Fosse, I've never met the guy, as far as I know. So if he's obsessed with me, then maybe he's got mental health problems. I don't know. Maybe he's just also very old. Maybe he's on medication. Those could be possible explanations. Maybe he's bored. What's the BCCSA fine all about? Well, you see, I've sort of forgotten about the BCCSA because here on cliffcentral.com, I can say where I can say, fuck you, BCCSA, and they can't do anything about it. They can't do a thing. And I used to have the record for the most complaints in radio, but I think, you know, since then, because I haven't been on for, 7 years, so that someone must have eclipsed me by now, otherwise they're not doing their job. And as I understand it, someone complained about having David Icke on the show, the TV show, because you can't go to the Broadcast and Complaints Commission about this, but you can about the TV show. So the problem was not what David Icke said. The problem was not that there was a discussion around conspiracy theories or whether he was right or wrong. The problem was just that I had him on. It's this cancel culture left-wing mob that wants to determine what everyone should listen to and see. And as I understand it, but I also think that ENCA are going to appeal.
Yeah,
because I'm not involved, you see. So these people like Pierre de Fosse and whoever else is going on about this, because there's always a coterie of these losers who, you know, none of them have ever had a TV or a radio show. They're all total fucking boring assholes. You'd fall asleep. If you had tea with them and Leanne's parents would fall asleep. So these people, there's always a circle of them, and they help each other out. They make each other feel better about things because their lives are just shocking and very sad. And it's tremendously political. Everything has to be political. They never just have a good time. And they live on Twitter because Twitter's become like this echo chamber for them. They've designed it themselves. So they block everybody who doesn't like them. And then they just listen to each other. And then that positive motivation keeps them going. So someone
if it's their thing, it's their thing.
Sure. Someone must have complained about David Icke, and now there's been a complaint. But I don't know about it because the ENCA people send a lawyer, and I don't go. So I haven't even seen the complaint. I don't know what it's about. I don't care.
Well,
frankly, I don't care. I really don't care at all. They're going to appeal it, apparently. So good for them. Knock yourselves out, guys. Have a whole lot of fun. This is like when someone is suing you for paternity, but you know it's not your child, so you just let it unravel.
Yeah, it's already out there if you really want to get into it. It's on some websites or the BCCSA, whatnot. Of course, all of these things are public. But they have three main charges that they are putting forward. One of them being the fact that
I'm peeing a little.
One of them being that the fact, David Icke's opinions are harmful because they are not based on facts. Then there's some arbitrary one. Then there's one that states that it was at a time that the program aired at a time that was harmful to children. So children could have been awake and they were watching this and it could have been harmful. I spoke to a friend of mine who's in the legal space, and they said it's when you're in a case, you just pile everything on that you can just to substantiate why you're putting this case forward. So this whole harmful to children thing is probably nonsense.
But also,
substantiate.
I've been on at ENCA from the get-go that our show is too late. It's at 8:30. And they keep saying, well, you know, the news goes from 8 to 8:30, and that's the best time slot we could give you. But as I understand it, that's also a pretty safe time for, you know, if kids are awake at 8:30, then you're a bad parent. Don't blame that on me.
Yeah. Well, let's see. It's still going to be a process because originally they wanted us to pay 80,000 rands and so
they can go and get fucked.
I'm a long process.
Okay, so let's see what happens. This will be funny.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you, I had the most random...
You know more about this than I do. Hey? I mean, you've just told me a whole bunch of stuff now I didn't even know.
I read all 30-odd pages of this going, oh, okay, what is happening?
Okay.
Should I know anything? Yeah. So I had the most random but beautiful weekends I've had since lockdown began, actually.
Oh, yeah? How so?
Because I went out for the proper first time and I thought, yeah, screw it, let's do it now.
Where did you go?
Well, it started out very pathetically on Friday night because my friends and I, two friends and I, decided to have a virtual movie night. This is just the pinnacle of loserdom. <'Cause we thought>, if we all FaceTime... Yeah. Each other. So we FaceTime from our laptops and then we have the same thing on our TVs. Will it be the same? We're like, yeah, it will be the same. Leanne, you'll love this because we picked this up on TikTok. No, it doesn't work out. Because when and how you press play at the same time, yes. So then this person is 3 seconds forward than you. Stupid. So we ended up just chatting the entire night through. But then Saturday rolled around and I was chatting to Ben Karpinski last weekend during the week.
Oh, hang on. He sent me a picture of the two of you.
So we decided, you know, we were chatting during the week and we hadn't seen each other for a while. So we're like, hey, you know, let's meet up for lunch. And so we went out to Parkhurst. Firstly, it started out as a very innocent lunch. And not to get people riled up about the whole masturbate and whatnot, but a friend of Ben also joined us and he didn't have a mask on.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was in the car. And, you know, since it's Parkhurst, everything is on the road.
Yeah.
So you think you're just going to get out of your car, you're getting to a restaurant that is, you know, and your table is right on the pavement. So he thought, yeah, I don't need a mask.
Right.
The restaurant wouldn't let him in. He ended up having to go to some random store, and it's one of those shishi poo-poo stores, to buy a mask is easily upwards of 100 rand that he needed to just get into the restaurant to be seated. Once he was seated, he didn't need it from that point on.
It's such a lot of shit. Really?
Silly, right?
So fucking dumb. I'm just so over having to try to explain to people why this thing is achieving nothing. And, you know, you get two kinds of opposition to the idea that wearing a mask is really, I mean, it's just to make you feel better about the fact that you're not making other people sick. But you get two kinds of people. Right. You get those ones who immediately jump to, well, if you want to kill people, that's fine. It's just slightly dramatic. And then you get the ones who are more kind of, well, even if it's only 50%, at least it'll stop 50% of the germs. And I'm like, okay, but even if it was 100%, this is not the worst disease to have hit humanity. You know, this thing is, sure, there are examples. And when you meet people and you talk to them, they're always going to bring up the worst examples. Well, you know, my gran had a friend and she hemorrhaged to death, you know. It's terrible. So there's always going to be that. And I saw a friend of mine on, because now they've gone into hard lockdown again in the UK. So suddenly a whole lot of people who were okay with the first lockdown are thinking, hang on a second, I'm not going into a second one of these. This is stupid. And really it is stupid. And she was getting into arguments with people, the arguments that we already had in April of this year. And I can't help thinking, like these people are just... They're so powerless. They feel so disconnected from, you know, their own ability to determine their future that they're quite happy to either abandon this to government or, you know, the NHS in Britain, which they worship like a god. Or it's this weird thing of, well, if I wear a mask, well, if I wear gloves, well, if I socially distance, I'm doing something. But you're really not. It's just dumb. This whole thing is just really, really dumb. And I can promise you history is going to be very unkind to all of us when it judges this chapter. They're going to say things about how dumb this generation was and how we none of us had our brains screwed on right when we took to the coronavirus crisis. And you watch. You're going to laugh at us.
Yeah, we said it in passing the other day, but I think if
so how was your
this
lunch,
country...
Me? Yeah, I'm feeling a little anxious that we're not going to hear...
Oh, no, okay. Yeah, let's get all of that, okay, because it really is getting juicy. But the fact that I haven't been out in so long, everything was fascinating to me. The fact that there was security out, I like greeted the security guards, the vendors were there selling stuff. I'm like, that is so pretty. That little magnet you are selling is so pretty. So greeted everyone.
Right.
Lunch finished, and then we thought, we are in Parkhurst, Ben and I, so we need to uphold the spirit of Leanne Mole.
Oh, wow.
So we decided to go to Jolly Roger.
Oh. Is my phone broken?
Why?
I didn't see any calls from you.
Oh, sorry. No, Leanne, we were doing this in remembrance of you, even though you're still alive and well. And
is my phone
broken? I wouldn't have been able to join. I was all antibiotic'd up.
Let me tell you, Jolly Roger should, you know, when you go to certain his heritage sites around Johannesburg, there's that plaque outside and it's inscribed with why this place is so important. Jolly Roger needs that because as soon as we go in, firstly, there's a certain waft that hits you. Mm. Now, I'm not going to say it's pee or anything. It's a particular
waft. It's a carpet.
Waft.
It's a carpet thing.
And the site that we saw, you know, Gareth, the same way you used to have Dimana at the SABC.
Oh, yeah.
There was a group of Dimana in there who easily 14 to 20 men wearing Springbok jerseys. So I thought, what is happening there? We later discover it is a year to the day since the Springboks won in Japan. And so they are together in remembrance of
any
the World
excuse.
Cup. One of them actually brought their PVR decoder to Jolly Roger to plug into the system, and they had watched the full World Cup since it's a year later. I thought, this is ridiculous.
Oh, man.
And so we share a drink there. We're still chatting on and on and on. Ben gets a text from someone he knows who lives in Parkhurst and says, hey, I know you're around. And just wanted to extend an invitation to you for you to join us. And Ben says, well, I haven't seen them for a while and I feel really bad. Do you mind if we go and stop by the house? I say, sure, no problem. While we're going there, he fills me in on what this is all about. He says, well, you know, I really try to support this person, but, you know, it's just not my vibe. And I go, what do you mean it's not your vibe? He then says, well, it's because they're into expressive dance.
Sweet Jesus, Ben has friends.
You can't get me involved in expressive dance on a Saturday afternoon. We get to this house. If I say this is the craziest thing I have seen, you know, it's top five craziest things I've seen in my 25
years. You're joking. Tell me more. This is fantastic. She's into expressive dance.
It is about 30 adults who are your stereotypical hippies, slightly off their rockers people, right? Who are they're all in their backyards. It's all in the backyard. Everyone has like little blankets thrown all over the place. And it is music that is a combination of trance.
Like new agey.
New agey something, if you like spa music as well, something with no lyrics and you really don't understand it. Then there was a particular man who who is a banker from Monday to Friday,
right.
But over weekends he has a different identity and he identifies as a woman. So remember how we spoke about people who have colored hair that's unnatural or always slightly off? Leanne, you disagreed? Well, this person was drenched in purple, head to toe. I say that's already a character flaw, like even purple lipstick. You know, he's a
So
dressed as a woman.
Only on weekends he identifies as a woman. That's amazing.
Only over weekends, and he's there with his wife.
I do feel this undermines the
Listen, Gareth, it was already a weird scene, so movement. I wasn't going to analyze everything. Okay. Yeah. Then there was a woman who Ben and I nicknamed Ropes.
Okay.
Because she had on a robe, but her robe was falling off and she didn't care about, you know, showing her boobs out. And she wasn't wearing a bra, but she was wearing this rope harness to just lift up her boobs. And it was really like thick industrial rope, just holding up her boobs and going all the way to the back. We thought, what was going on here? And the third odd character was, you'll have to Google her if you aren't familiar with her. She looks exactly like Kate McKinnon, who's a cast member of Saturday Night Live. And this Kate lookalike was just wearing a black bikini bottom and the sheer black top on top. So you could see a lot underneath. And she was in the moment.
So are all these people Ben's friends?
No, it was a person who Ben knows who was hosting afternoon. But all of these people we really did not know. And we had to be respectful for about the course of two drinks before we looked at each other and thought, Ben, good innings, great to see you, but we have to leave here. And by the time we left, they were I think easily... half of them were on something.
Oh, for sure.
Onto something. And you know, the same way in those charismatic churches, every now and then you'll see someone who has the spirit and is overwhelmed by it. Every now and then we'd see someone just like fall onto one of these blankets and like roll on the ground.
It was
normal. Fucking mental hospital.
Yes. So I actually, there was a course of the afternoon. I said, Ben, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but I have to take a video here just because I'll tell the story and no one will ever believe me. But now I feel bad posting it anyway. I'll share it with you guys just for the shits and giggles. But I thought, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. But when it's time to leave, I said, Ben, regardless of anything, I'm going to say goodbye to your friend here, because at least he was hosting us, so I need to be hospitable. And I walk up to him and I say, thank you very much for welcoming us into your home. Guy just gives me the biggest bear hug, and that lingered for 4 seconds too long. He wasn't moving, and he held me and held me and said, your energy is so great.
Oh, wow.
Come back anytime. Whenever you want to come, just come back. I thought, I will never be seen. Yeah.
Oh, my word. Jeez. Well, that's one for the books.
So an introduction back to the outside world. But I went back home and I had to, like, fetal position going, what just happened? Hold on.
So after you and Ben left this funny party, right, this weird thing, you just went home and...
Yeah.
Okay.
You that was know. Like okay. 6 in the afternoon and I thought, done. Don't want anything now.
Okay. You'd had your fill.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Crazy that these things happen here. Expressive dancing.
Ben kind of warned you a little bit before you entered the premises.
Look, to be fair, he also didn't know what he was getting himself into. No. Between rope. Like, who wears a rope bra, essentially? Out in public.
Was it not macrame?
No, so this is...
because that's...
Mbulelo says it's called self-tying, and it's apparently...
Oh, yes.
It's something
I've seen it at Sexpo.
Yeah. There are a lot of people who are very into it, and according to Mbulelo, you must learn to live, Sia. The self-tying is a very important thing.
Listen, I also want to learn to encourage people to wear proper bras, you know, when you are out, when you are walking towards me and you're going to greet me and there's just boobs already waving at me. No thanks.
Well, how do you think we feel about your tackle when you're in your swim shorts?
Or when you're in your dressing gown, see, on your balcony and everything's hanging out, you know?
Gareth, I'm in my robe. Yeah. On my balcony, not out in public. That's too much.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you say so.
Well, it's not really public when it's a safe space, is it?
Oh, okay. Safe space, inverted commas. Thank you, Parkhurst, for showing me some craziness.
All right, you need a little, well, Parkhurst, you know, that's, I'm not that surprised by Parkhurst being that exciting. I'm very happy you had this great weekend. Well done. That's very, very good.
Yeah, you need very to get good.
Bizarre.
You need to live.
Ay-ay-ay-ay-ay.
All right, so here are some headlines for this morning. First of all, oh, I'm going to sneeze. You ready?
Oh, yes. Okay.
Three, two. Oh, that was... It was before I expected it.
Oh, there's another one.
It's a bit premature.
Okay. So,
time for your pills.
Yeah, I know. Mbalin Thuli, who ran against John Steenhuisen in the leadership race for the DA, this is not a Halloween joke, he won and she has congratulated him. Are you excited about that?
Not for nothing, but were you paying attention to this no. You know, in the past couple of days and weeks? Because I feel like it lost... excitement.
No, I have not. So there it is.
I think they wanted it to be like a US presidential debate and it would garner that sort of hype and we'd be interested to see who comes out victorious. And I don't think the country really responded.
I don't think so either. And that's okay. A Pretoria-based restaurant and nightclub had to temporarily close its doors after part of the ceiling collapsed on partygoers.
Yeah, that was hectic.
Several patrons at the Propaganda nightclub. I've never been there. Have you?
No.
No. Trapped under the debris on Saturday night. Video footage shows patrons and what appears to be staff searching through the rubble for trapped people. Sure.
Yeah, it was literally a whole panel that fell down with, you know, with the industrial aircon pipes, the silver big pipes, all of those on top. There was a bit of panic, but apparently there was only one injury, fatalities.
It's understood that people were having a party and they were eating and drinking, and then pools of water had formed during the downpour, which caused the roofing to suddenly cave in. As the club manager, Sposiso Nkambule, explained, the ceiling took a bit of water on. When it caved on the island, which is not a sitting area. As such, we can confirm the processes of evacuation followed properly. There were no fatalities. We had one injury, and that person managed to get to hospital, and it was just a minor injury. So, okay.
Now, I don't want to call myself, someone who can see into the future.
Oh, yes.
But that was Saturday night, and on Friday night, I had this dream that I was – I often dream about the SABC parking lot, and you and
you
I, Gareth
often?
– Yeah, I often do. It's one of those that goes in a, you have to go round and round and then you get to the bottom and you're underground and it's like six floors down. That's where my parking was. And I dreamt that when someone touched the lift button, the actual floors, the cement floors started moving instead of the lift. And I was at my car and the space between the roof and the floor was getting smaller and smaller until I had to lie down. Was crashing the cars, and I literally had a tiny bit left to breathe, and then it stopped because the person stopped pressing the buttons. And then I managed to get out, and my only way out, all of a sudden I was on a skyscraper, was to jump down into this tiny swimming pool from the sky. Anyway, something woke me up and rescued me. But when I saw that roof collapse, it made me think of the exact situation.
Because
how horrible that must have
clearly
been.
Clearly, you're
people were trapped.
You're a prophetess. That's what you are.
Yes, exactly. I could have told them.
Oh. I need to send you someone's number. I think you'd be great at expressive dance. The way this is going.
might be a good outlet.
Guess what? The Department of Water and Sanitation has urged residents in Gauteng to use water sparingly, as the Vaal Dam's levels have been declining. The dam, which is Gauteng's main water supply, has been shrinking week on week. Now sits at under 28% after a series of heat waves. Current dam level is in striking contrast to the same period last year when it was 54.8% and 87.4% in 2018. However, the department said no water restrictions were planned as the province's water systems remained in a healthy state. What we are seeing is the municipalities... It has something to do with them looking after their own reservoirs and water supply. But at the moment, there is not anywhere near, we're not anywhere near declaring or imposing restrictions. So that's good news. And of course, with the the rain that we had over the weekend, that should improve the condition of the dam.
Yeah, well. And that water issue that was affecting large parts of Johannesburg continues, including my own suburb, although I haven't had much issue with it personally. Mm-hmm. But people are up in arms because we keep on being told to use less water. But some people don't have water at all to use less of.
Yeah.
They're saying, what are you talking about? I don't have any water.
Well, at least 10 people have died, and there are reports of storm surges, flash floods, and power outages, and blown off roofs at the, I think it's the made landfall at Catanduanes, which is in the Philippines. And it is wreaking damage across the main Luzon Island, which is close to the capital, Manila. President Duterte is monitoring the disaster response from his home, a presidential spokesperson said. Mark Timbal of the Philippines National Disaster Agency said that 19 million people may have been affected by the path of this typhoon.
Ooh.
It's quite a lot of people.
Sharks.
Yeah. And then finally, Sean Connery died over the weekend.
Oh.
Rest in peace.
Well, apparently it was very peaceful, his death, which I was glad to hear about.
Mm-hmm.
He was in his home in, where, the Bahamas, I think?
Yes.
That's gorgeous.
He'd been ill for a while, but he passed peacefully in his sleep with his family around.
Well, his widow, Micheline Rockerbrun.
At about 10-ish.
His widow, Micheline Rockerbrun, revealed on Sunday that he had dementia in his final years. So he'd gone a bit, a bit mad.
Mm-hmm.
Country like the Bahamas is a good place to die if you've got dementia. I mean, it is beautiful. It's peaceful. He obviously had, he made good money in his life, so he was probably well looked after. And if you start to lose your mind, it's horrible for everyone around you. But for you, it's like,
it's ideal. You don't know anything better.
I don't know, guys.
What?
It's always a shitty thing to compare or to think about. But if it comes to losing control of your body, or losing your mind, losing your mind.
You're the only one who doesn't
know. Well, here's the thing, guys. Dementia is the degeneration of brain cells, right? Yeah. It doesn't only affect the brain cells that affect memory. It starts eating away the brain cells that affect body function. So you do start losing control, or you do perhaps it'll eat into your nerve center, and you won't, you'll become paralyzed. So it does, it doesn't prefer certain brain cells. Eventually it takes you completely.
Well, here's the story. So widow, she said she was with him all the time and he just slipped away. He had dementia and it took its toll on him. He got his final wish to slip away without any fuss. It was no life for him. He was not able to express himself towards the end. So there we go. I mean, there's a guy who lived to 90 years old. He was famous for being the first James Bond. He will be honored in a private funeral ceremony with a memorial event to be held later. The actor, who was knighted in the year 2000, won numerous awards during the decades. In a career that spanned an array of huge big screen hits, including an Oscar, 3 Golden Globes, 2 BAFTA Awards. It was his smooth, Scottish-accented portrayal of 007 that earned him lasting worldwide fame and adoration.
And his good looks.
Good looks, absolutely. So it's very interesting. He was married to this French artist, Micheline Rockerbrun, who he married in 1974. A year after he divorced his first wife. They first met in Morocco in the 70s. They had lived outside his native Britain for decades, previously owning a home in the Spanish resort of Marbella and then in the Bahamas. In one of the last...
So far, Sean sounds like your ideal man, Leanne.
Oh, yeah.
He loves the Bahamas. Yeah. He loves Spain.
Good-looking guy.
Well, they had a 45th wedding anniversary on May the 6th of this year, and that was the last time they saw that there was a picture of him. She said he was gorgeous and we had a wonderful life together. He was the model of a man. It's going to be very hard without him, I know that, but it could not last forever, and he went peacefully. Isn't that nice?
Oh, sure.
So when I heard about this on Saturday, I didn't believe it. Because, you know, there's so many of these hoaxes these days. So I thought, no, come on. It's not time for Sean Connery yet, but clearly it was. So there we go. That's your news. That's the stuff you need to know this morning. Mm-hmm. So, Leanne, what is the story about these people who get who actually given up money to go and sit on an empty plane on the ground and eat something?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is how stupid people are. What is it?
So, sorry, there's a bit of a delay on my side. My internet's not great. So if I have these gaps, it's not dementia. It's just gaps in.
Because you sound fine. Yeah. I don't know why you even brought that up. You sound perfect.
Okay. All right. So it's Singapore Airlines, and they allowed seats to be sold on its super jumbo turned restaurant. And these tickets sold out within 30 minutes. And obviously the big question is, why would anyone on earth do that? Because, you know, for everybody who doesn't like flying, it's the last thing we want to do is sit on an airplane and eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is the Airbus SE-A380. It was parked at Changi Airport as temporary restaurants, two of these actually, for two weekends in late October. And they offer dishes from the menu, two complimentary alcoholic drinks, a free flow of other beverages. Get this, a meal in a suite on the plane cost over 7,400 rand, while prices were about 3,800 rand for a business class seat, 1,143 for premium economy, and 643 for economy. Why would people do this? Well, it was apparently really amazing food.
Okay.
There were celebrity restaurants who went and did this. So one of the guys who applied for the suite seat said that he actually is a sales director for Travel Data and works for an aviation company.
Mm-hmm.
And he himself just wanted to experience the suite because he'd flown it once from Sydney to Singapore. And he just wanted to experience it once again. Because, for instance, the experience that you're going to get is like, you get the full experience. You get the movies, you get a whole night's experience for this.
Well,
I'm still confused. Question. So people pay to go onto a plane that is not airborne. It is parked on a runway.
Yeah.
And you sit seat and you eat and you watch a movie and then you get off again.
We do this with trains.
Some people don't get to experience flying.
There are train restaurants.
Some people don't get to experience.
You know, the people park the train.
So for those people, it was really exciting.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, really? It's cool. Why the hell not? Also, apparently those suites on Singapore Airlines are quite something to experience. So you might not want to travel anywhere, but it would be quite nice.
So there's some people who just wanted to see what it would be like sitting in a business class seat and being served in business class, because they'll never have the opportunity.
Good.
I'm not buying that.
Well, you don't have to.
Well, as someone who's flown first class, I don't really need to.
Darling. Oh, all right.
But certainly not a suite on Singapore Airlines. I'd love to experience that.
I don't need to.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, a lot of people are reminding me we need to update the death pool and see if we've got Sean Connery.
I was going to go that way, but
I did see actually, Gareth, you had Sean Connery on your list.
So I get 10 points because he was 10 years younger than 100.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You still have Harrison Ford, Macaulay Culkin, George Bush Sr., O.J. Simpson, Corey
Feldman.
George
Bush Sr. is dead, so I've already cashed him in. Okay.
Corey Feldman, Mick Jagger, me, Prince
Corey
Philip,
Feldman's
and Mel
dead.
Brooks.
I think Corey Feldman's dead, so I think that one I've also got.
Isn't Corey Feldman the actor, the child?
Yes, I think he's dead. Let's check. We need to update this thing, man.
He complained that he was being hunted by a pedophile ring in Hollywood.
Okay.
No, he's still alive.
Still alive.
Yeah. Sorry, he's 49 years old. And oh, yeah, I tried to watch that documentary he made last year about saying that he was exposing a Hollywood pedophile ring,
yes,
and now he was being hunted, and the fact that he doesn't have a lot of money, but now he has to pay for even more security because he was driving on a highway, and then next thing there was like one of those 18-wheeler trucks that was just honking at him and shone these bright lights and was trying to push his car off the highway.
And this was
a Hollywood pedophile ring.
Okay, so the pedophiles are now in trucks. Wow, that's kind of scary.
And trying to kill him. That's cool.
Jeez, they've upgraded from those little combis they used to have with their windows.
Mm-hmm.
They still haven't changed their glass frames, though. They're still wearing the same glass.
Yeah. Moustache.
Yes, with a creepy moustache. But now, then 18-wheeler trucks. Yeah.
Jeez.
Didn't they also... I'm sure all the pedophiles had one or two ice cream trucks, didn't they? You know, those little ice cream vans. Trucks.
And then also those... Mm. Those big old American cars with the wood paneling.
Yes.
Where they'd stop and offer you a lift.
I need to see. Oh, there we go. I do. All of these things are slowly coming back to me. He also claimed that he was physically attacked and actually ended up in hospital, saying that it was someone who was paid for by this Hollywood pedophile ring. This person back in 2018 opened his car door, Corey's car door, and stabbed him with a syringe.
Huh.
Ooh.
Mm, and that he had to rush to hospital. They needed to have tests done because he wasn't sure what was in the syringe, but he was convinced
very difficult.
That it was a poison or virus or something.
Very difficult to be Corey Feldman. Really, you know, the world is against you and the pedophiles have conspired.
Mm.
Do you hear a noise?
Hmm. You know what it is? It's my cat snoring.
Oh.
Does it go boo?
That's exactly it, yeah.
Boo.
That's your cat?
Boo.
You better have your
cat. He's very snory.
Who has Leanne's cat on the death pool?
No.
Oh, it's a shame. There's one you won't get any points for. She's definitely on her way out.
Oh man. Party people, my neighbor who sings with her earphones in is now getting even more ridiculous these days.
Oi.
And I don't know how to stop it.
Mm. Tell us. What's the problem?
The thing is, she sings louder and louder, and it's clearly the same playlist every couple of days. Because to the point now, I know the songs. I know how they'll go. Mm. I know what she likes. And it would be one thing if she was singing inside, but she sings on her balcony, or she sings just, I don't know why she'll sit outside. But Leanne, it's just like the slight murmurs that your cat makes. Cute at first, annoying afterwards.
You know...
No, it'll always be cute to me.
No, that, you know, there are people, I mean, at least this woman's happy, but you can't, as long as she's not singing things like Taylor Swift, because then I'd also want to kill her. But I think if people are happy and they're doing their thing, you know, what this year has taught us is that everybody has a different sort of comfort zone. And it's incredible to see, like, what people do to feel better about themselves and to give themselves meaning and pleasure in a day. And it could be like this irritating neighbor of yours. And by all means, I understand why you'd be pissed off and she's irritating you. I get that. Mm-hmm. But she's doing her thing, you know? And it's not the end of the world. It's like, even with Halloween, you know, you look at how people get all dressed up and they're all excited and have these Halloween parties and they do the makeup and they do the outfit. And if it makes you happy, good. Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Who the hell are we to complain about it? And if you're not interfering with anyone else or, you know, creating
chaos. Like the pedophile ring in Hollywood.
Yeah, don't interfere with anyone like pedophiles do.
You know, the one of the interesting things looking back at this year since, gosh, we're in November now. One of the things Ben and I were discussing on Saturday is, wasn't it interesting this year how, because there was so much going on, not that we cared less about others, but we were all too preoccupied with our own issues to really be invested in other people's issues. Like, this year was a horrible year to have a lot of shit going on and thinking other people will give a damn. Because it's like, well, sorry you've lost a hand, but look, I'm still trying to make my finances make sense. I'm just trying to survive, you know, not get the virus. I'm just trying to keep my job. It's like, yeah, we don't care. I'll care about you next year maybe. But got a divorce too?
Yeah.
Okay, well, sorry, I'm still...
It's been about survival and self-preservation and putting yourself first.
Yeah, if you were looking for sympathy, this was a bad year.
Bad. Shame. Save your issues for next year.
Yeah.
And people are just so matter of fact about it. Like, so sorry. I just don't have any reserves of care left.
Yeah. Oh, you had a baby. Okay. What is it now? One.
Well, Sarah says, Sia, better to have your singing neighbor than my nymphomaniac neighbor. Remember, Sarah told us that her neighbor makes unbelievably loud noises the whole way through sex, and she has to listen to it. Yes.
At weird hours as well.
Yeah. So that's cool. Sia, did you ever warn the neighbor that was chilling naked in her lounge, the one that was oblivious that she could be seen? Veronique wants to know.
Oh, yeah. No, we discussed that.
Yeah, you went over and you actually knocked on the door and told her.
Hmm.
Yeah.
We still greet each other in the parking lot. We don't have anything else to say to her, but that's about it.
Well, I mean, you helped her along. There could have been dirty, filthy people in the complex watching her every day. Thank God you were one of her neighbors.
I think all of the teenage boys are very upset that I warned her, but...
Well, there's the small matter of a U.S. election happening this week, which I don't know if you've noticed, but that's going on, and it's a fairly big deal, you know? There's a lot of talk about this. And I saw that Barack Obama joined Joe Biden on the campaign trail, which is very exciting. And I saw Donald Trump is squeezing in, visiting every single state that he can. So there's a huge amount of activity in the U.S. right now. And whatever your predictions are, maybe you want to talk about that a little bit. We can get into that and more in the next few minutes. But first, have you ever gone on and tried the Go products on lottoland.co.za? Because Euro Millions Go, Euro Jackpot Go, and the 649 Go are all drawn hourly. So every hour, there's a draw. You don't have to wait for the entire week for the big payouts. You can go to lottoland.co.za now. If you really love that thrill and you want to get a thrill every hour, there's a draw. Lottoland is licensed with the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. You have to be 18 years or older to place a bet. Winners know when to stop. The National Responsible Gambling Toll-Free Counseling Line is 0800 006 008. Get on there today and see if you can be a winner. All right, when we come back, we'll hit the road running with Monday and all the important things you need to know. You can get hold of us on 0797482090. Let us know what's going on this Monday morning. CliffCentral.com.